Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Erickson.
And today we have an amazing guest. The Sheba Mason is with us. Virtually with us. Hi.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Sorry I haven't had you on before. Like, I was thinking about it now and I'm like, what the heck? Like, I have certain blind spots. I guess we all do. But I was like, it's so weird. Like, yeah, I'm just happy that you're on and it's good to see you. How long have you been doing?
So long.
I'm a jerk. I don't know. I'm a jerk. Like, honestly, that could be the answer. And I apologize because you are, Sheba's a star. How long have you been doing comedy, Sheba? Like a long ass time.
So long. Since I was 19.
Since you were 19. So Sheba's been in the streets of Manhattan working her ass off. To me, you really are one of the funniest comics out there. And she works her ass off. Like, you would love that because you have such a crazy hard ethic with that work ethic. But like, Sheba is always, you know, on stages, putting shows together. And I think it's really admirable.
Thanks. Now, can you tell that to some of the industry?
I know. I was going to ask you, like, what has been the hardest of doing comedy for so long?
I would say like I don't want to give it substance because, you know, when you talk about something, you give it substance and then you just keep it going. So like,
no, definitely. I tell her that a lot. Like I there's certain stuff I don't like to talk about because it makes it too real or it gives it some kind of power.
It gives the thing power, you know, like, so. But with that said, like, you know, it's been hard to get a really good agent, you know, and like, you know, do things like that. I was stuck like producing like the wrong kind of shows for a while. Then during the pandemic, I found this great place. I don't know if, have you heard about it? Did I tell you about it? Or have you heard about it?
I think you told me a bit about it. I think it was before I started really getting up again and I was blocking out certain comedy stuff, but you run a cool show now, right?
Yeah, and I've been really fortunate. Like, it's in a covered courtyard, like upstairs at a bar, so it's like technically outdoors, and people feel like safer there, you know. And it's warm because it's hard to explain, but it's warm and there's heaters. But I started it like in the middle of the pandemic, like that July, where no one had anywhere to go. So I was getting all the seller comics to come, and like, you know, some of the celebrities, like, you know, David Tell comes by, and like Louis C.K. comes and stuff, like, you know, and all the, you know, all those people. So they still do, and you got to do it sometime. And they still,
I would love to. Could we like grab dinner or something before too?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be great to grab dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love that. Yeah. That would be fun. I love that you guys took my question and turned it right into the positive. I really do like that. I can get quite cranky, Sheba. He has seen it firsthand where my energy levels drop and I can be the crankiest. And I have a tendency to give power.
We have to get home the second they drop. Like if we're out at the mall or something, I can see it. Her whole face drops. I'm like, oh shit, the monster's about. And like, she needs to be, it's usually about food. I got to feed her real quick. And so I started just keeping trail mix in the ride. So like I could just give her something, you know, it's the one with M&Ms in it. It's like not the real healthy trail mix. It's just the kind of, yeah. So
I'm sure I have a deficiency that I haven't fixed quite yet for it to drop that fast. Cause I go from like chipper to zombie, like the crankiest zombie real quick, but I'll fix it. I'm working it out. So Sheba, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up. Your dad, am I okay to go here? Is because you and I don't talk about this like ever when we talk about like boy stuff and all sorts of like that kind of stuff. We don't ever really get into that. But your dad is Jackie Mason.
Yeah.
And he passed recently-ish, right?
Yeah.
And like, I want to ask questions that are sensitive because I don't know how much you feel like sharing, but
I'll share. You don't have to tread lightly.
Well, why don't you share what you feel like sharing about this? I think it's fascinating that your father is someone who was very famous, comedian. I guess even at his death, did he fully admit that he was your father finally? Like,
No, he had to admit that he was my father, like, you know, in the early stages, because he paid child support and stuff.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was a baby, and he paid child support until I was 18.
Okay.
He was with my mother for 10 whole years. She has a musical comedy that she wrote all about it called the Jackie Mason Musical, which toured around. It's still like coming back sometime after this pandemic. But I play my mother, and it's like, that's how I met my twin flame, who's now gone, but he was playing my father, Jackie Mason. But he's not dead, he's just gone. But we were together 7.5 years, and maybe he'll be back. But anyway, he... It's not a twin flame podcast. But anyway, so my father...
It could be if you want it to be.
And then, like, he, you know, we didn't have much to do with each other other than the fact he did pay child support. But when I was a child, you know, we were on the cover of all sorts of newspapers and stuff. And I was on, like, Entertainment Tonight and Current Affair and, like, talking about it and stuff. And he, when he died, like, if you see in all the obituaries, I am listed as his daughter. So that's good. But okay. Like, somebody asked me, like, this is like, I have this joke in my act now, like, well, how do you feel about the afterlife in regards to your father? And I'm like, of course I believe in the afterlife. He's been ghosting me for years.
Well, you would run into him on the street sometimes too, right? There were times.
I joke about that. Yeah. Like, we're getting closer. I know we're getting a lot closer. Our relationship is better, because last week I saw him on the street and he actually recognized me. And I know he recognized me, because the minute he saw me, he ran the other way. Like, at the Applejack Diner, which is like right by my house, he would always sit there. There's even like a plaque on a booth that says the Jackie Mason booth, which is pretty cool. You know, we just weren't that close my whole life. But that's where people have, you know, weird situations with their fathers all the time. And at least if you're going to have an absentee father, at least I got his gene pool. So that's good. But, you know, that made it harder in comedy too, because I kind of thought, like, oh, I'm Jackie Mason's daughter. When I first started, like, people would care, like, that would matter. And, like, apparently it didn't matter that much, except sometimes when they know who he is, they book me. Like, when they couldn't afford Jackie Mason, they would hire me, you know. But he's actually not a clean, like, people have this impression that he's like this borscht belty, like, he's not. Like, he's like, you know, he's like the bad ass of the borscht belt, you know.
What is that?
The badass of the borscht belt.
What's the borscht belt? Yeah, what's the borscht belt?
You don't know what the borscht belt is?
No.
It's like from yesteryear, like the comics of yesteryear, like those older Jewish comics. You know, there's people think of them as like hacky, but they're, you know, they're the ones who invented hack. You know, but Jackson isn't like that.
Is it like Don Rickles? Like, who was in that group?
Yeah, like even I guess you could say, like, yeah, like Don Rickles, Alan King maybe was like part of the borscht belt.
Okay.
Even before then, like, you had Morty Storm, who's like, you know, from 150 years ago. You know, like, I guess it's a type of humor that sort of stemmed from vaudeville.
Okay.
Like way back, and then like trickled down, I guess. But yeah.
Well, that's what I also like about your comedy and your presence on stage, is I feel like you have some of this like older generational showtiminess to you, which I love. It's almost like Judy Garland-esque in that sense of like, there's a showiness. Yeah, you emanate a certain thing, but it takes me back generations. Like, even some of your mannerisms, it does remind me of, now I don't know your dad's comedy very well, but I imagine it reminds me of that genre a bit. So I think it's really cool that whether you meant to or not, you do have genetically some of that vibe in your comedy. I should have showed you Sheba's comedy before.
Yeah, you done fucked up.
I did. I fucked up. That's my bad. So you could like understand more of her style in a sense. But I do love, like, when you've done stand up in Manhattan for so long, you see so many different types of comedy, right? Like, you see it all, that it takes a certain pop to keep listening. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I'm at a show, someone has to pull on me in a unique way to make me even want to listen at this point. I've seen it all. And I just really find that your comedy pulls me in.
Thank you.
I love when you do crowd work. And I haven't seen you do comedy in years. So, like, I can't say exactly what you're like right now. But I remember, like, every now and then something would happen. And if Sheba, like, went into it, yeah, you would just be riffing off the top. And it was, like, yeah, that's some of your best work.
Oh, thanks. It's fun, like, you know, when you're a comic, like, that stuff is fun because you depart from your set and it's just like you're really like, it's so in the moment, you know. That stuff is like sometimes more like, I almost like that more, but it's just unreliable.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you get so used to doing that and then you realize, like, when you're in a giant theater, it's not really amenable to that. Sometimes it's harder.
Oh, can you not do it? Is it like the sound doesn't travel right to talk to the people?
Well, it's like the people in the back or up high can't see what's going on in the front. You can't see because, like, there's real lights. So it's like crowd work is like, and also, like, situations they don't treat it like a shitty comedy club, like, because, like, people just don't respect comedy clubs, but a lot, you know. But, like, sometimes when they get into a theater, they're not going to heckle you or yell shit because they're, like, at theater, you know. It's like this whole, like, mental thing, and what they paid for a ticket is different, I guess. So, you know, there's not, like, two drink, like, comedy clubs, like, no, you know, known for, like, drinking, raucous places, right? But, like, a giant theater is different. So I've like, somebody once pointed out to me, when you do these little rooms so much, you sometimes, like, you start to get so used to doing good crowd work. Or, like, you know, and then, like, when you get to a theater, it's like, well, what am I going to do? I can't rely on that, you know? So even, yeah, like, I have something about being choked during sex. And, like, I'll say, hey, ladies, who enjoys being choked during sex? And then I have a joke about that, like, if someone says they do. But, like, at a theater, you can't really do that because you can't see anyone. So you just have to say, you know, just lead yourself into it without asking a lot.
Yeah, the theater shows I've done, I almost, sometimes you can see the front row. Or the front, right, too, sometimes, but sometimes it's like you're staring at just lights,
yeah,
coming at you, and then, like, black abyss, and you just have to, like, trust that what you're saying is you're going to hear laughter and they're going to connect, because it's like you're almost telling jokes into a black hole in outer space.
Exactly. You're really just relying on hearing. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been trying to get CG to start stand up, but
It's too scary up there. I see what you guys do. It's impossible.
It's not impossible, but
you could, but it's just not that great of a life. I don't know if I would tell my kid to do it if I had a kid. Would you tell your kid to do it?
Shane wants to start.
Oh no.
But she knows that she knows that he's going to, like, Princeton or something. So she, you know, she knows he's got backup.
I'm so
strong back.
He is now, because when we met, he was like 5. I really don't tell me, please.
He's 15. He's 15. Really? Yeah. So, but, like, we're definitely.
He's a handsome kid.
Oh yeah, he's slaying that poontang.
Oh my
God. No, just kidding, you guys.
My mother said to me, "Is that her boyfriend or her son?" Once, like, we were looking at you on Facebook. He's a good-looking kid. That's nice.
Yeah, he's great, but he might start. But I definitely think, yes, comedy is hard. What made you want to get into comedy? Was it because of who your dad is? Was that, like, in you already? Or, like, what made you finally go?
Or it's just because you were funny as shit.
Hey, that's a good question. So what happened was, I came from, like, a show business background. Like, my mom was a playwright, and you know, I did a lot of musical theater. I sing too. Like, I've done tons of plays. And when I was 6, there was a comedian in Miami Beach named Frankie Mann. He now passed away, but he, like, took me under his wing, and I started doing, he had an act that he did in the South Florida Condo Circuit, which is, if you don't know what the South Florida Condo Circuit is, it's like these giant communities that have shows at, like,
Retirement communities, like Florida retirement
communities. Like 55 and over, but they're not, like, sickly. They're just, like, in, like, Century Village, or, like, also giant hotels in Miami Beach would have shows, you know, mostly for that kind of crowd. So every Saturday night I would perform with him. He would bring me up on stage for, like, you know, 10 minutes. I would sing and have some patter back and forth with him. And I started essentially doing stand-up. I was trained to learn how to wait for the laugh. My mother and grandmother, like, trained me with him, like, you know, do this. And then I would hang out, like, backstage with him and the musicians, and, like, we would bullshit, you know, like, and they would talk to me like I'm an adult, and I'm like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So this went on for some time. In addition to, and, like, it was, like, fun. They would, like, you know, tell me dirty jokes, and nothing creepy, like, you know, nothing like molested or anything, but, like, you know, just talk to me like I'm one of the guys backstage, you know? So that really shaped a lot of, like, I didn't think of doing stand-up though. until later. So I'm doing theater, doing a lot of plays. I would even like do regional theater where you'd get paid like during the day at school. You'd leave school early to do theater, which was cool. You could count that as like an internship class, whatever. So then I was all set to go to the University of Miami when I was 18. And instead, I just really was dying to get to New York. I had like this image of New York in my mind. So I just like left lock, stack, and barrel. Like I bought my plane ticket and I was gone 3 days later. And I just tried to make it in New York. I stayed with a friend for a week. I had 1 week to get out of his house because he's that good of a friend. And, oh, so then I started, I was going to college, like Baruch College, which is like a commuter school. It's not even college. And like living on my own and working as a waitress in like a bunch of places. I worked at Ellen Stardust Diner as a singing waitress.
Oh my
God. Various places. Yeah, that was fun.
As a singing waitress, do you sing the order? Do you sing the specials? Do you...
you sing like 50 songs because it's like a 50s diner. So you have to have like a whole repertoire and you have to audition.
Oh
my
God.
They really sing. It's a lot of the Broadway people who like go onto Broadway do it, you know, but...
Oh, you perform. And so you're waiting on people and you're performing in between waiting on people?
Yeah, like every now and then, like you'll take an order and then every now and then you'll sing, like for the whole restaurant, you know? And then you get tips based on singing too, so you really make a lot of money there. They're making.
I want to go to that restaurant.
Me too. That
sounds awesome.
It's cute. It's like for kids. It's like mostly for kids, but it's cute.
We'll be the only adults.
This is so like fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. So I worked there. Then I started working as a waitress at New York Comedy Club. And when Al Martin still owned it, who doesn't talk to me, by the way, now because of my room. Oh, that was fun, the way you look so shocked. It's so fun.
Well, you were there a lot. That's, I mean, yeah.
No, that was fun. I was wondering if you would be shocked.
I am. But like also, we haven't, you know, you and I haven't really caught up in a while. And I feel like in those years, so many different things have happened for so many different people of like just people they were working with that they're no longer close with, or even just they were friends with, you know, a lot of things have gone down. So I'm not too shocked, but I was at first.
Yeah, it was fun. Your face was genuine. The pandemic was a real reset. Like everybody hit the reset button, you know?
Yeah.
So after I started working as the waitress, the manager, Buddy Flip, was like, hey, do you want to take my comedy class for free? So I did. And then the rest was history. You know, he started giving me real spots on shows that I, you know, I kind of skipped open mics. I skipped having to bring people and all that. And he was like,
nice.
Like managing me. He believed in me that I was like Jackie Mason's daughter. He cared. So I started doing that. And then I started running shows at my Joe Franklin's, which is gone now. And then Broadway and New York Comedy Club. And then, you know, like just that's how it happened. I do say it's good to run a show when you're early on so that you can give yourself time. But you got to run shows with integrity. Like the bringer shows are horrible. You have to call someone up and be like, oh, you have three people. You have to have six people. It's like you don't want to do that. It's horrible. It's like soul crushing.
You know yet what a bringer show is? I think you've heard of it, but. It's basically like, oh, okay, we'll give you 5 to 10 minutes of stage time as long as you bring this amount of people. And depending on the venue, like I think Caroline's, I've heard, makes you bring a crap ton amount of people. Whereas like certain shows, you bring 5 or some is 8. It
so
depends.
You bring people and all those people are buying tickets?
Yeah.
You don't get stage time if you don't bring them.
And so then like, so let's say there's like 8 comics on a show. So everybody brought people, then you have this giant show,
yeah,
which is good. And if you're a new comic, you do get to perform in front of all those other people that you didn't bring. Right. Which is cool in a way if it's like done. I did them
a decent amount in the beginning when I started, because you want stage time and you want to get up at certain venues that there's no way you could get a regular spot at unless you do that. And you still have friends to bring when you start comedy. When you first start, there are people that are like excited to come see you. And then 10 years in, they're like, we have seen your shows for so long, like get other people there. But
the problem is they see you like when you suck in the beginning, and then you know, it's like that's their impression of you, you know. But yeah. Who cares what your friends think anyway? Fuck them too.
It's so funny because like CG's now seen some comedy, not a ton, but he's been around it. And he's like, he has witnessed that comedians, although we can really be funny on stage and make people laugh, like we can get quite cranky and like annoyed after. It's like, we give so much. Oh my gosh. What? Sorry. Something popped up.
You get bad news?
It was bad news. Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
It was the Zoom running out of time. This meeting will end in 10 minutes.
Because normally they let you do as long as you want when it's just two people. And now they're saying upgrade.
Thinking about
fuck you, Zoom. I'm going to probably die. Zoom has so much money.
So we're getting mad at Zoom.
Zoom
made the world better for everyone.
But I thought Zoom at least cared enough to let just two people talk unlimited time because it's just two channels.
Well, we cheated the system because we had two on this side.
Yeah, well,
Zoom. So maybe they know. Maybe there's somebody watching.
Anyway.
Yeah, maybe they do know. But it's
fucking
so Apple. Much better than Zoom. Like, then why did Zoom even be invented?
We think it's better. But we're the only people it's like very small percentage of people thinks better, like 0.1%. And we're in the 0.1%.
Skype's free, so you can go as long as you want with multiple people. That's why Skype's better.
I love going as long as I want with multiple
people. So why didn't Skype make themselves more known, like during the pandemic? Why didn't they make themselves known more? Where were they?
It was like they were falling off.
And like, no, conquer the world. Why did they stand idly by? If you could be free on Skype, with as many people as you want for as long as you want, why did they stand idly by and just allow Zoom to take over the world?
I think it's because they couldn't afford any advertising because it was free. That's what made them go under. It was free.
I feel like there's no Jewish people dealing with Skype that work at Skype because they never would have allowed that to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, Skype kind of blew it. Skype was in that market way before anything. COVID happened, everyone needed to go virtual. And if Skype couldn't get out of their ditch for COVID, it's a lost cause. Zoom really took in and went with the whole thing. And then here we are needing to use Zoom. And it's telling me that we're going to get our meetings to get shut down soon. But then, haha, I'm going to sign out of this account, sign on
to mine. Don't say it on Zoom. They might be watchers. They already know we cheated the system,
Zoom,
having two of us on one side of the camera. I was supposed to log in with my computer on Zoom and then you on your computer. They're pissed, dude.
Anyway, Zoom has already taken up too much of my time.
We're on Zoom's bad side now, and I feel very uncomfortable.
Zoom definitely has people listening in right now to us, and they're like sending assassins. Zoom's probably one of the richest.
They're like, we work for Zoom.
Zoom doesn't give a shit about us. okay. Now I totally forget what we were talking about.
What's awesome, if you run Zoom, you look, there's not really any work to be done. Like, it's set up already. Like, you're just making a lot of money.
No way. Technical. They have to probably upgrade so many different technical things.
You got, like, a few IT people. Just kidding. I don't know how any of that works. I love pretending I know how shit works. That's my favorite.
Okay. Why don't we end this one? And then I'm going to send you a new link probably in about 2 minutes because it's going to first convert this video. Sorry.
Okay, no worries.
That's tough.
So we started a brand new 40-minute recording sesh. Okay.
Now, I wanted to ask Sheba what she thought about a friend of mine. He got COVID, okay? And then, you know, he kind of ruined Christmas, ruined whatever holiday it was, you know, had to tell his wife and his kids and had to quarantine and all that stuff. And I talked to him on the phone. I was like, why did you tell everyone? And he was like, you're a fucking horrible person. And I didn't really realize, like, I was thinking, like, why didn't you just like walk around with COVID and like not tell anyone? Cause all this, like, your life crumbled when you told everyone. So like, is that horrible? That's horrible, right? I found out now. I know now that it's horrible, but like, if your life's going to be that interrupted, what if like you're not paying the bills? Like, what if you're living check to check and you get it, and then you know you're going to have to take off work for 2 weeks and then be out on your ass? See, so I wanted to know.
Well, here's the thing with the new, okay, like I even talk about this in my act a little bit. Remember when like you'd be sick, a little sick, and you'd like call up your boss and you'd be like, I'm sick. And he'd be like, no, you're coming in anyway. and you would like get through the day and you'd be like such a trooper, you know, especially if like when I've been in plays, you don't, the show must go on, right? If you're sick at all and the play doesn't go on, then they applaud you. They're like, oh, look at her. She came in, she sang, she danced, she was sneezing, she was coughing. She still got through it. What a trooper, you know? And now it's like, if you have like even like the slightest sniffle, everyone's like, don't come in, don't come near me. But with Omicron, like if somebody told me they had COVID and they had been with me, I'm under this like tremendous moral obligation to get tested before I go anywhere, I guess. So you have to abide by that. It's just like what we're due now. But right. I mean, you have to. You can't walk around with COVID.
That's what he like that's sleeping. What he told me.
Sheba, you that's can't what... like have unprotected sex knowing you have AIDS. You know what I mean? But wait, AIDS is lethal.
Sheba, she just said the same exact thing while we were on our break and we were resuming. We had to do another Zoom. She said that on the break. She said, it's just like having an STD and not telling anyone. And I was like, why would you tell someone if you had an STD? You're never going to have sex again. Like it really is like, if you're telling anyone about these things, like kind of ruins your life. And so like there is, to me, it's just like nobody's saying it. Like I definitely think there's people with COVID out there, know they got COVID and they're walking around because they don't want their life ruined for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people out there. And those people, you know, are called creeps. It's creepy because it's not even about me. It's like if I get it and then I'm going to see someone old, it's like everyone's so scared of killing the old people.
No, that's definitely, I do get that completely. But when like, you don't know any old people and you just know Bills and you're like, hey, all my friends are Bills that come to my house that I have to pay. And then that's all you think about. I feel like you don't tell anyone. You just suck it up and you good. The show must go on.
If there's,
I agree with you though. Yeah.
Especially if there's like a single parent who has kids and like really can't afford to take off work. I'm not saying, I mean, in an ideal world.
It sounds
world,
like you're saying you wouldn't tell anyone.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
This is what I'm saying. In an ideal world, no one has to work when they're feeling awful. Like in an ideal world, we're allowed, like there are systems in place so we can rest and rejuvenate and not
be sick. I
believe
that world is called Sweden.
Yeah, we need to move there, dude. Like, that's some of my ancestry. So I feel like maybe we could move there and just things would be like brighter and better. Yeah. Just the rules.
Live our best Swedish life.
Yeah, like I feel like they pay for you to stay home sick.
I feel like if like the three of us and some others move to Sweden, we could start a really good Swedish comedy community.
That's quite possible.
I'd be like, Manhattan comedy is cool, but have you heard about the Swedish comedy community? Okay.
What are some Swedish cities? Are there, I don't know any, and my ancestors are from Sweden.
I have no idea.
The thing is too, is that there's so many false positive tests. So now we're all like freaking out. Like every time we're a little sick, we take a test. Then you take another test and that's negative sometimes, right? Or vice versa, like a lot. I know someone who tested negative twice and he was like, no, I know I have it. I definitely have it. Then he finally took a test and it became up positive. So which is it? Like, I would just be happy with the negative result and I, you know, but you know, I don't know. I think like, you know how like the airlines like stopped, a lot of them stopped flying during Christmas time because the pilots and the crew got COVID. Think about it. How do you could just, it's so easy to just lie now and just say, oh, I tested positive and then like go live your best life, you know?
Oh, so the pilot, you're saying the pilots wanted home for the holidays.
I do. Yeah. I think some of them. Yeah.
If I was think about a pilot.
You were a pilot and it's Christmas time. Do you want to be flying or you want to be with your family? And now you can just lie and say you tested positive.
Yo, that's very true. Now, I think the point that you made about how it used to be, because I almost forget that, and it wasn't that long ago, the way it used to be where you try to call out sick and you might get fired for not coming in. You try to call out sick in the morning, even if you are sick. You know, like it was completely different.
Right.
And now it's like somebody even has a suspicion that you're sick. You better stay your ass home.
Right.
That really flip-flopped on us.
Yeah. I have allergies and I'm worried that like I'm going to get reported for COVID for this podcast because you can see I have some allergies. It's freezing cold here.
You know? Oh, dude, it's like 2 degrees out today.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, if I usually after I eat, I have to cough for a couple minutes. I don't know why, like, especially if it's Chipotle, like if I eat Chipotle, the guacamole for whatever reason afterwards, I'm not sick. I just have to like clear my throat. But now if you're like in public and you have to just cough to clear your throat, like you can feel people being like looking at you and it's like, okay. It's just a different environment, but it is interesting to go from that extreme of like, I don't care if you're sick, you're going to work, to now like, they still don't really care about you as a human when they're telling you not to come in. Yeah. Like, keep your germs at home, you leper. They're not like, oh, you poor thing. Like, well, I mean, I guess some people could say that they say that, but I feel like people are just obligated now to not force them.
Man. You know what? I don't really care too much about the pandemic, like personally myself. I care about other people's health, yes. But like, but I do like when somebody coughs in public to glare at them. Just, I think it's hilarious. I don't actually care. Funny. But I do definitely like to be, like do my scorn of disapproval so that they know that I care, that I think that they're sick and they're a bad person.
Funny. Are you
and it's like, it's just because I'm a bad person on the inside. And so it's like, I want them to feel what I feel for a little bit.
That's really good. I haven't heard anyone say that yet. That's funny.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
No, he says some crazy. It was funny though. Like someone today was like, is that your boyfriend? He looks like Superman. And I was like, oh, like, thank you for saying that, because he has like such low self-esteem. Like this dude, like I think he's walking around this world like such a hunk, and he's just funny. Like he'll shit on himself, he'll come up with crazy cool concepts.
You need that though, because when handsome men know they're handsome, it's like the worst. It's very bad. So stop telling him how handsome he is. He knows already.
Yeah, it's off-putting too. It puts me in awkward situations.
Really?
Look at what happens when little Jewish guys think that they're special. Look at how much my father fucked around on my mother. Like so much fucking, you know? Just because he, can you say fuck on this podcast? Yeah.
No.
Of course.
The clean comedy podcast. No, I don't even know how to be funny at all if it was clean. I'd be completely helpless.
You know, I guess I'm creating a monster. I'll stop telling you how good looking you are. He just gets, I perv on him a lot. It's so funny because like,
she's a super pervert.
He can't even like live in peace because he'll like walk by the kitchen and I'll just,
and
like,
she's like that ass. Like she'll just say stuff like that. She'll be like that ass. And I'm like, ooh, just trying to make some here. I'm not a piece of meat.
Yeah. It starts to feel like a creepy nightclub on your end. And it's like, it shouldn't be like that.
She walks around naked perving sometimes. I call her naked pervert when she does that. Why naked pervert up my room?
You guys, but
it's nice to be
we live we live-ish together.
Yeah,
live-ish.
I don't what
she asked if we live together, and I said we live-ish together.
Got you. Yeah, close enough.
Yeah,
it's close enough.
Okay. All right.
I have a bed at her home. And so like, that's pretty much like, yeah. And then she likes my bed better than hers. And so like, I always, you know, I always have to share it.
Well, he has a thing where you can, and like the thing can go up and stuff. And like the
food. Oh, nice. Stuff.
And I'm not used to that kind of classiness.
Sheba, let me tell you, I got it just because it looked cool. I didn't even think I wanted the head raised and the feet raised at all. I just was like, this looks cool. It looks a lot cooler than my bed frame. And I can stick stuff under the bed now. And that's why I got it. But I can't live without it now. It curls you up like a little, wow. It cradles you like a baby.
You're in a womb.
Oh, that must be so good for your back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Is that
like,
the sleep number bed?
It's not a sleep number bed. The mattress on top is good. But it's not memory foam. It's the best old school mattress with springs you can get.
It's like a coil
but
system.
But no, it's not a sleep number. And then, but the frame that we got, the frame lifts the bed up and crunches the bed up and however you want it. And that's a game changer. But she's always in it now. So like, it's not even mine anymore.
I'm just not used to like, I'm just, he's helping me step up my life in various ways. He
got me by taking my shit.
He got me new bras. Like, there are just some things that I needed that I didn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, that now I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I wasn't getting new socks and I was wearing like, like, you know, I just had things I had to throw out. And like,
she was wearing the saggy boob bras to the gym. And cause she thought the gym, you're not supposed to look good at the gym. And then, and I was like, wait, you know, why are you wearing the saggy boob bras to the gym? And she said, you know, she told me that. She was like, you're getting sweaty. You're not supposed to look good at the gym. You're not supposed to. And I kind of think the gym's more like a fashion show to me. Like, everybody's actually walking around looking their damn good. You know, I'm 40 now. I'm 40 now. So now, like, I'm one of the older people. And like, I look and just everybody's gorgeous at the gym. And so I was like, no, we need to get the special bras. We need to get the special stuff for me, whatever they would come out with for men, I'm getting it. You know, so yeah, I did that. We took her to Victoria's Secret for the new bras. And they had some special ones.
I'm not wearing one of those right now, but I treat these babies good now.
They had some special ones. And so, yeah, we got them. We're trying to do things right. We're trying to do things right.
We talk about boob job?
What'd you say?
Did you get a boob job?
No.
Oh, they look huge.
I've been eating.
Oh,
that's why I feed her. That's why I feed her so much. That's where she gets bigger.
I think everyone at the gym thinks I got a boob job because I went from wearing bras that basically push you down to look like a boy to like these, like, and I think some people, I swear today, I was like, oh, they probably think I got a boob job because I like, cause now he has me wear, like, I'm at the gym.
We got her the Victoria's Secret one. And now she's just absolutely, it's absolutely pornographic now when we go to the gym. It's like it went from one extreme to the other. And so, yeah, they're thinking you're a porn star and you just got like your fake boobs and stuff like that. I think it's hilarious because they might have thought that. But yeah, the bras do wonderful things, I think. I'm just finding out.
Sheba, when I see Sheba, she's got the girls out. She's usually a supporter of bringing them out. I mean, CG has really taught me the importance of breasts because I've always had, you know, decent size, but I was like hiding them because I was taught that also in comedy. I was taught growing up, like, hide them, like, you're not supposed to bring that kind of attention. And then, like, in comedy, they're like, do you want them paying attention to your boobs or your jokes? But now I'm like, both.
But on stage, I always wear a jacket. Like, I never show my, I never had cleavage on stage ever because the girls are looking at you, like, kind of like comparing and like judging your body. The girls are, and the guys are looking at you, but sometimes they're looking at you because the girls are looking at you, you know, like, and they're like, it's, people look at bodies on stage, like, even whether you're fat or thin, or like, bodies are interesting. So I like to hide my arms and my breasts.
Well, not this woman anymore.
So does she.
Usually,
but then I wanted her not to hide them anymore. So it's like, I don't know whether it's a good change or not. It just, like, it's what happened.
If people are coming out to see you and they know who you are, I think you can do whatever you want. And like, that's awesome. Like, Nikki Glaser dresses really sexy on stage and it's like, great, I want to. I just feel like I need to get people to like listen to me and not like judge my breast size, you know, like the girls do more. But I think it's great if you like, you know, it's good.
Yeah, well, I'm embracing cleavage in general more. Good. I think it's very nurturing. Yeah, I'm like, you know what? It is. It's like a symbol of, I mean, breast milk. It's nurturing. It's like they make you feel warm and fuzzy. So I've been bringing them out more.
That's important. It's very important.
It's a fun attribute.
The world needs more of that.
I mean, I have Wonder Bras all over the place.
Yeah, CG's teaching me the true importance in life.
Well, and this is the thing.
She is one of them.
She wasn't wearing that. And so I felt like, all right, so everybody's walking around and maybe 80% of the girls are wearing those. And so like, it's like they're cheating. And now she's looking not great out there because they got these enhanced things going on. I'm like, yo, you gotta get into the game. Like, you need the right cleats to play this sport. Mm. And so, you know, I felt like the other people were cheating. And so she had to get, you know, she had to get what they had.
Amen.
Yeah, he's been helping me get my life together, which includes some tighter fitting outfits. which I'm about, you know what I mean? Cause I didn't mean to start dressing, like a total, like complete hipster you know what I mean? Like, I didn't realize that everything was like super whatever. Okay. One last
wait,
thing.
Wait, I want to get on it real quick. I got this from my dentist. Just from my dental office real quick. What happened? Oh, damn it. Did I erase it?
Bro.
Are you bringing up your dentist because my teeth look a little red? They look red because of all this, because of red wine that I was drinking last night that somebody brought me. Red wine. And no matter how much you brush your teeth, it lasts for 2 days. That's why I've like stopped drinking red wine.
Oh, no, definitely. Oh, yeah, that does it to me too. But no, I couldn't see that at all. No, they just said something. They were like, you know, with our new sedation techniques, You fall asleep and then you wake up with a brand new smile. And I was like, that sounds scary as fuck. It was like an advertisement they just sent me. You wake up with a brand new smile. Like, you just fucking tore apart my whole mouth. And while I was sleeping, I don't know. Anyway, we really have to talk about that. But I just got that message before we started. And I was like, that's some creepy ass
shit. I will say this. I think it's crazy that health insurance, that you have to have like separate dental insurance, that health insurance doesn't cover teeth because they're so much a part of your body. And if like,
that is crazy.
It's, if it starts to hurt, your whole health is fucked up. Like anyone who's needed a root canal or had a really bad cavity, like it is hard to function health-wise. So it's crazy that you have to like have a whole separate thing for that to
they
be.
They treat it like it's a luxury. Like you're like taking care of your teeth is a luxury and it's not like a necessary thing. But I think it's very necessary.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I think that insurance should definitely have to, like, cover dental. I know so many poor people who are walking around with half a tooth. You know, they can't get it fixed.
Dude, and or in so much pain because, like, they need a root canal or something like that. And it costs, I don't know, $500, $1,000 or something. And that, so, yeah, that happens all the time. It's, like, sad to watch.
In prison. Yeah. You have like a bad tooth problem, they go to pulling it right away as a way to like fix it. And it's like the thing that people need to realize, not only is it a health issue, but if you pull out people's teeth and then you expect them to go back into the workforce, appearance matters, right? So if you have like teeth missing as well, it's harder for that person to also get a certain job. So I think it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, like they know you've been in the slammer. If you have more than like 3 or 4, they know you came from a slammer.
Whoa.
Oh, just kidding. They don't know that. That's terrible. No, because like it she does happen. Like, those things do happen. That's
when
not
do
real.
When you get healthy. Gold teeth, how does that, who gets gold teeth?
You know, I think that used to be a thing. I think that used to be a thing. Like Home Alone, Joe Pesci has a gold tooth and he's a criminal. And like, it was like, if you're a criminal who's like doing all right for yourself, you get a couple gold teeth. But I think that ended like 2000. I haven't seen anybody with gold teeth in a long time, but like people used to be rocking them Jones in the 90s.
You guys both have really good teeth.
Thanks. I want to get gold teeth or a platinum grill. I think platinum grills look kind of cool. They're like silver. Gold is like yellow. And like, that's what you don't want your teeth to be. So that always confused me. But I did think the platinum was kind of awesome when the rappers started doing the platinum grills. I kind of thought, like, it looks crazy. Like, it looks like you're a robot, but
yeah,
but to me, it still looks kind of cool to me.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe goals. Let's all of us get rich enough so we can have platinum grills one day.
Dude, I want platinum grills so bad.
I want diamonds in mine. I want some of my teeth to be like, bling. Like, I want to smile platinum and some of them be like, bling, 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 bling. And just be like, there must be so annoying though. Like, that's a lot of money to have then something in your mouth. I feel like I'd start salivating with them in and like
the diamonds would start
with something in your mouth all the time.
You're just having something in your it would be like, I feel like it would start cutting into my cheeks. Anyway, we will start to wrap up. I just want to bring up this one thing. There was a woman who got in trouble, I think, like with the law. I don't even know what fully happened to her, but she like put her kid in the trunk because he had COVID. And
I saw that.
The quarantine.
But that's what I also think is funny about COVID too, is like, you still have to care about other things. Like, a kid could suffocate in a trunk or it's just not safe, right? So it's like, yes, you can be scared of COVID, but like you still, there are other things to be scared of too, that you have to take care of, including your mental health. I feel like people forget that part of it. It's like, yes, you want to follow the rules of like health safety, but like also follow your own rules of like, don't go fucking insane and like, don't get miserable in all of this. Like you still got to figure out what's going to keep you thriving and going. So it's an interesting world, because now it's like rules times. Like everyone wants rules. They're like, now here's more rules. It's like, okay, some make sense, but some you got to be like, all right. You know, this is why the government doesn't like me. I'm like, okay, I'll take in some of your laws, but these ones, well, some laws are just fucking nuts. I always bring this one up, but like, it's illegal to have anal in some states. Like some laws are just outdated, archaic, and for some reason haven't been whatever. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, how's that my fault? Like, if I live in a state where they said no anal, if I wanted to have anal, I'm going to have fucking anal. I'm not even a big anal person, but it's just for freedom.
I feel like I'd be one of the peoples on that board of directors who was like, yeah, no anal. I'm like, that's, you don't need to do all that. People don't need to do all that.
It can't be law.
They made it illegal though. Like, so you'll get like tackled off of someone, like tackled off of from behind them. If the cop comes in during, I guess, I think that'd be funny as shit. If there's some footage of somebody getting caught doing anal in like one of them Southern states and the cops had to like tackle them and tase them off of the person, I think that'd be fucking hilarious.
Remove your penis from the asshole, sir. They have like a light on it. It's like, whoop, whoop. That was my cop thing. Whoop, whoop. Okay. I'm not the sound effect person.
You're flipping out.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up.
Is there a place where blowjobs are illegal? We should move.
You don't like giving blowjobs?
No, I'm kidding. Well, awesome, of course response. I do. I'm kidding.
Awesome response.
Shiva, where can people find you on Instagram, website, shows? Whatever.
It was just at Sheba Mason, SHEB like in boy, A Mason, MASON, everywhere on Instagram mostly. And my show is at the Three Monkeys in Midtown all the time. I travel around a lot too, but just ShebaMason.com. You'll see everything about. Thanks so much for having me. We have to have dinner soon. Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming, Sheba. That was great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank and you then guys. For me. Here, it was such a pleasure for me at the Kate Wolf. Anyone who wants a healing tarot reading, kwolf27@gmail.com. And thank you so much again, Sheba, for coming on.
Thank you. So much fun. Fuck it up. Fuck it up.